on this Sunday evening. How are you, everybody? It's WGBB AM 1240, Freeport, New York. And this is the pre-show for Dave's Gone By. This is kind of when we get our wings a little bit wet, we get some water under them, we get some air under them, and we just start to cruise so we can fly at 11 o'clock. But it's going to be such a cool show, both the 10:30 show and then, of course, the 11 o'clock Dave's Gone By regular radio program of the air. As I said, I'm Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist. Very happy to be here on this station, as I've been since, wow, going back to October of 2002. In fact, in a few weeks, we'll be coming upon the 200th episode of Dave's Gone By. That's the 11 o'clock show. And that program is a mix of comedy and talk radio and interviews and humor and, well, comedy and humor, which for crazy people like me, I guess, is two different things. But we don't do as much music as I normally wish I could or would like to do. So it's one of the things that people who get into radio, most of them want to be a DJ. We want the idealized DJ thing of being able to get on the air and share music, play what we want to play, play what we're feeling that particular day or that particular moment, talk about it, share information about the bands and the artists we love, discover new artists and songs, and then bring them right out there and have people hear them, not because we're getting payola, not because we have to play them because of a playlist, but because we just want to share the music. We want to share who we are, our opinions, and our feelings about the music. And that's really what it's all about. So I'd love to do that. And I've been getting to do a little bit of that on a different radio station. There's a station out in Stony Brook, WUSB. Relatively young station. It was only founded in the mid-1970s, but they've carved out a real niche for themselves, especially as far as music goes. Eclectic music, modern music, real what's going on in not just rock and pop and now hip-hop, but all the weird sort of different genres like club this and dub that and reggaeton and something called hyphy. There's a new thing that there's so many hyphenations now, so rap, hip-hop, reggae all mixed together, so they don't bother to say anything. They just say hyphy. Hyphy. So that's what they're all about, and CMJ apparently listens to them fairly closely. I mean, their playlists go to the College Music Journal. So they're kind of influential, and one of the nice things is, even though I don't have a regular slot on that station, I get to go there sometimes and fill in for people, which gives me a nice 2.5-3 hour chunk. So not only do I get to do some free form and free associating talk and a little humor, but I really get to play music, and some new and some old, and you know, flipping through the new files. It's exciting for me. It's different. And I have so little time on this station, once a week for an hour, or if I'm lucky, this hour and a half, that I don't get to do the music thing. But tonight, we're going to be playing lots of music, and we'll also be talking about that too. And it's not even going to be my music. I'm going to have my brain opened, my mind opened, and my special guest is sitting there with his head in his hands, wondering why the hell he bothered to show up tonight. He was on a couple of weeks ago, and also he was one of my very first guests, way back in that first year, talking about all different kinds of stuff. At one point, he was doing airport security, which was kind of interesting in the year or so after 9/11. I mean, he wasn't doing it then. He was talking about when he had done it years earlier. And then, let's see, last time he was talking again about 9/11. But we put that aside because we've moved past. And one of the cool things that my friend JP does is that he's co-owner of a record company, of people who actually put out music. And it's a company called Field Recording Records. And I'll have him tell a bit about who they are and some of the people that they put out who later ended up on bigger labels and are getting a real name for themselves. I guess they dumped the old label and we'll talk about that too. But he's a very cool guy and has been into music and a wide range and a weird range of music far beyond my comprehension, what I was listening to, way beyond. So we're going to get a listen that ranges, I can see just from the things he brought in, from punk new wave to soul to really hard sort of garage rock to weird kind of folk. It's going to be great. So JP is here with us in the studio. How you doing, JP?
Oh, I'm okay, Dave. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining us. And I'm proud not only that you came to the show prepared with all these discs and even a couple of record albums. First time I'm ever going to play a record since I've been here at the station, an actual 33 RPM record. But, you're making notes, you're checking the times of things. So you're really taking this seriously. Thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. I'm trying to be quite diligent about it. Yeah. So.
Well, I know I've already cost you a few minutes longer than you probably expected. So what was your... Let's get rolling. Let's play some music. What have you got for us first?
Well, this is one of the great Texas bands, the 13th Floor Elevators, who had a hit in 66 with You're Gonna Miss Me, and this is off of their second album called Easter Everywhere, and I kind of prefer the second album because it's a whole unit of strange...
it's that unit.
Yeah, not eunuch, it's a whole unit of strange music, and they were one of the first, kind of dubbed the first psychedelic band, and they came out of Texas, and Roki Erickson is their lead singer, and they play an electric jug, so it's quite something. It's just some psilocybin-laced Texas rock and roll, so... That's what I'd call it.
Okay. Well, again, that was 13th Floor Elevator from their Easter Everywhere album. Is it Earthquake or Hearthquake?
Earthquake.
Earthquake. They actually misspelled it on the CD, Hearthquake. Look at what else is on the CD. They do Baby Blue. Is that Bob Dylan's
It's
All Over Now?
That's a Dylan song, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Whatever happened to 13th Floor Elevator? What became of them?
You know, they were such a phenomenon in Texas that, and then they went out up to Frisco, San Francisco also, and played a lot there. But they were a real phenomenon in Texas that the government was kind of down on them, and they got busted for marijuana and
like Willie Nelson, kind of.
And Roki, they sent them to the mental institution, and he got. I think he got a lot of shock treatments there, and that kind of fried his brain. And he came out, tried to, I don't know, rejigger the band again. But he plays in Austin somewhat, and he's in fact, I think someone's making a documentary on him about Roki. He's quite the character, involved with a lot of. Always interested in horror movies, so he writes songs about horror movies.
Oh, okay. Still, in other words, to
the day. Creature with the Atom Brain, and Don't Fear the Night Reaper, or something like that.
So basically, he's writing songs for the Venezuelan president to sing at the UN about America.
Pretty much.
Okay, on to more music from JP, my guest on the pre-show for Dave's Gone By. Well, what else did you bring us to listen to open our ears to?
Well, this next cut is called The Neon Boys, and that is the pre-Tom Verlaine and Richard Hell of Television, and Richard Hell and the Voidoids, their band before that, and it's a very, I consider it close enough to the Elevators in its sound, and that came out in... Well, they recorded, I think, in about 73 or 74, and it came out as a single in 1980.
That's a loud and stingy kind of music there, JP. Who was that again? That was...
The Neon Boys, a.k.a. Richard Hell of Richard Hell and the Voidoids, and Tom Verlaine of Television. Well, Richard Hell was in Television also.
So cool. So anyway, we're not doing television. We're doing radio here on AM 1240 WG. What a bad segue that was. And we're in the pre-show for Dave's Gone By, and we're playing music, but we're also doing a little bit of talk. We'll be back. We're going to play a little more music and then go right into Dave's Gone By. So, JP, tell us what we're going out with right here.
This is the next track is by a band called the Electric Eels, and they're out of Cleveland, and Oh, it's one of the great moments in Western music, their single Agitated. And that came out probably originally, I think it was recorded in about 1974, 75. And a real monument to noise.
Nice Two Flamingos in a Fruit Fight indeed. Yes, what a, I always love opening Dave's Gone By with that Captain Beefheart number, because it's not the kind of thing you hear on regular radio or that, that you'll hear normal shows opening with. They might go with something kind of jazzy or some classic rock. Well, to me, this is classic rock, but it's also a little strange, a little out there. And that is what's going to be so cool about this edition of Dave's Gone By. It is September 24th, 2006. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, humorist, and music lover. And if you were with us for the half-hour pre-show, and I hope you were, we're here with JP, my good friend JP. He's been on the... How are you doing, JP?
Oh, I'm doing fine, doing fine.
Good, good. Now, JP has done a bunch of different things in his life. Many of them would get him arrested in several countries, including this one. But he's been a good boy for the past few years and has been disseminating music that is cool and out there and close to him. And he's also, through that, been really knowledgeable about all different strains of music going back 40, 50, 60 years. I mean, everything from really kind of blue out there blues and folk to hard, grungy kind of punk and pre-punk to stuff that people are listening right today and being made brand new. He is the co-owner of Field Recording Records, and which has put out some folks by like Cattell Koenig and Michael Hurley. Now, these folks have also gone on to sort of more well-known labels, but they also got their start at Field Recording, as have some other folks. So JP will be talking about that, and we'll also be playing some cuts from Field Recording Records, but also from his wild and variegated record collection. As a matter of fact, I mentioned in the pre-show that this is the first time I'm going to be playing, since I've been here, since I've been at the station almost 4 years, that I actually have an LP, a long-playing 33 RPM record in a turntable. Now, I know hip-hop people and rap people use these things all the time, but I've just been either talking or doing CDs and the occasional cassette. So this really kind of cranks me back a little bit. So that's the kind of thing. We're just going to go backwards and forwards and all over the place musically, as we were doing, like in the first half hour. Okay, 13th Floor Elevator, and Tom Verlaine in Television, in a band that they were in before they were even television. JP kind of likes the whole noise aspect of things, really into that garagey but harsh, tinny, raunchy, noisy garage sound. But that's not the only thing we'll be hearing. Anyway, JP, thanks again so much for coming to Dave's Gone By.
You're welcome, Dave.
So what else have you brought for us to listen to on this fine Sunday evening, the first Sunday in the autumn?
Well, the next cut is by an English band called Blurt, and it's called Fish Needs a Bike. And it came out maybe about 1980 or 81, and also quite noisy. And then after that, one of the pre-Sonic Youth band, The Coachmen, one of the gents in it, is a famous illustrator, J.D. King, and his new band is J.D. King and the Coachmen, and there'll be another cut from that.
Okay, but first we'll be hearing Blurt.
Blurt.
I love the title. What's that title again?
Fish Needs a Bike.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. That's J.D. King and the Coachmen from American Mercury. With that was Shivery Shivery, part of JP's record collection. Kind of like that one. That kind of more, little bit more melodic than some of the stuff he had been playing before. What was the Fish Bicycle song before that?
Love oh, that Blurt. Fish Needs a Bike.
I guess I was playing on the old thing, like a man needs a girl, like, or a woman needs a husband, like a fish needs a bicycle sort of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly. You got it.
See, I'm not that stupid. Anyway. Now, just to prove how stupid I am, I've forgotten to thank our sponsors, which I should have done at the top of the program, but I'm going to do it now. Thank you to Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Thank you, MortgagesRock.com. Thank you, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. And thank you to Fancy Schmancy Balloons. So what we're doing here on Dave's Gone By on this first fall edition, well, first 2006 fall edition of the show, is playing some records from my friend JP's collection. He's been a music aficionado. He's written for many, many years. He's written about it. He's co-owner of a music label, for gosh sakes, and he knows a couple of the great rock writers. As a matter of fact, are we cool on talking about that, your friend Nick?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know Lester Bangs?
Yeah, well, more my other half. She knew him more than I knew him. But yeah, I had met him once before. But in fact, the Blurt song I think was one of Lester's favorites, probably before he died.
Well, certainly wasn't after he died.
Yeah, that's right.
After he died, I was listening to a lot of Shostakovich. Just yeah. But what about Nick Tosches?
I know Nick. He's a sweet guy.
Okay, cool. I mean, he wrote a couple of books on rock and roll and for the Times and stuff like that.
No, that's right for the Times. No.
Oh, sorry.
No.
Oops. Sore subject there. Didn't realize. Okay.
No.
So, have you written stuff about music anywhere? Did you?
Yeah, here and there, different various publications. I think the last time I was writing was probably for some magazine out of L.A., the Ray Gun magazine, which was a pretty good magazine. You couldn't read it because the type was that ridiculous type that's kind of melded into the paper and you can't see it. So I was always a little distressed when I couldn't actually read my review.
It was the last publication that was literally done in a mimeograph machine. They crank them out and it smelled the blue ink.
Oh, yeah. No. This was post that. This was post. Okay. This was probably in the 90s, yeah.
Well, speaking of blue ink, no, I've gotten myself into an impossible segue. This has nothing to do with blue ink. I've got to play some commercials. Can you think of a segue that will help me out of into commercials and out of what I'm talking about? Blue ink. Blue Incorporated? Like it's a business kind of a thing?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about Minuteman Press, there's
we are.
Blue ink.
Well, they use blue, yeah. They use all colors ink, including blue. Well done.
My God, that's amazing.
Here's an ad for Hewlett Minuteman Press. And we are back on Dave's Gone By here with JP and the music that he has brought in. We've been listening to a lot of noisy stuff, a lot of really kind of heavy guitarish stuff. Is that going to continue? Are we going to move in a different direction or what, JP?
We're going to go in the folk-nick direction.
Folk-nick, okay. Oh, okay. We'll just leave it at that, shall we?
Yeah, just a little folk and blues and country and bluegrass. Yeah, just a combination of those.
Well, I dedicate this next number to Osama bin Laden, wherever he is. I guess it would be his mantra, wouldn't it? Do you want to set it up or just play it?
Yeah, and all our fighting men everywhere.
Let's hear the Bugs! A little Yankee Doodle reciprocity there. Jeff, you want to back announce?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the Insect Trust on their album Hoboken Saturday Night, and one of the guys on there is Robert Palmer, who used to be one of the great, great rock and roll and music reviewers at the New York Times, who passed away a few years ago. And the Insect Trust were kind of friends with the Holy Modal Rounders and the Fugs, and they kind of switched members here and there. So there's that sound, the Rounder sound, along with a little bit of the Fugs like before that.
Cool, yeah, the Fugs from the second album,
exactly.
Kill for Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we are back on Dave's Gone By. And that Dave's Gone By website, by the way, is davesgoneby.org. D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, goneby.org. And that's the way to find out all our future shows and the history of the show, pictures of me, in case, God help you, you actually wanted to look and see what I look like. Lots and lots of stuff at davesgoneby.org. And we are here with JP playing, getting back to the music, JP's eclectic and sometimes electric record collection. Hey, JP.
Oh, hello, Dave.
So, what are we off to now? We start in a very noisy, acid-y, kind of hard, punky rock, move towards the... what did you call it? It was folknik.
Folknik.
And now where are we at?
We're same thing, kind of folk blues. Woman Karen Dalton, who was a early muse for Bob Dylan and a lot of major folkies down in the Greenwich Village time, but she was the real deal. She was part Cherokee, came from Oklahoma, and they used to call it the Hillbilly Holiday, and she cut two LPs and unfortunately passed away in 93, and her second LP is just being reissued, and it's kind of a big deal because Bob Dylan and Nick Cave and all these new weird folkies, Devendra Bonhart, they're really into it, so we're going to swing a cut on it. Well, that was Baby Gramps doing Go Wash an Elephant, and he's one of the great, great characters in American music today. In fact, he was just on David Letterman a few weeks ago because he's on a new CD that Johnny Depp and Hal Wilner produced for Pirates of the Caribbean, and it's all sea shanties and pirate songs, and he's supposedly the big hit of it.
I believe it.
Oh, yeah, he's a real character from Seattle.
Well, remember what Something About Mary did for Jonathan Richman? He'd been kicking around for years and years and years, just releasing albums that maybe 2,000 people bought, and then they put him in the movie, and then he was selling like 4,000 albums, so he was excited about it. You know?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, yeah, Gramps is quite the character and plays his old National Steel guitar that... his pop gave him, who I think his pop was in vaudeville also. So Gramps, as I tell you, he's been on the great Joe Franklin show twice. And as I tell everyone, he looks like Rip Van Winkle and sings like Popeye.
Oh, yeah. But in fact, his speaking voice, I mean, you've actually talked to him, spoken to him and stuff. So is that all put on? Or?
Kind of raspy. Yeah, very raspy in a gin and tobacco smoked esophageal type of voice there.
And he's not 70 years old, right? He's probably, what,
50-something?
No, he's
something? Baby Gramps.
Yeah, which means...
yeah, he could be anywhere between 2 and 70.
I wouldn't wager on 2.
No. He used to play in the old Pike Place Market. He'd be one of the buskers playing out there. And he was in a movie documentary called Streetwise about street kids in Seattle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, he
Tom
played
Waits
Teddy
did
Bear's
the score for that.
Yeah, exactly. And he played Teddy Bear's Picnic in it.
Oh my gosh! I'd have to go back.
A younger baby.
Baby Gramps. So he was infant, embryonic baby Gramps.
Yeah.
And before Baby Gramps, what did we hear?
Karen Dalton, who... Mike Hurley.
Right.
And Mike Hurley is one of the unholy modal rounders. Him and Steve Weber and Pete Stamfel and a number of the Young Bloods, they were all buddies in Pennsylvania, or as my pop calls it, Pennsyltucky, which is the kind of the rural area of Pennsylvania. And they came to New York back in the late 50s. And Hurley is also quite the character, living in his van, traveling around the country. And but in fact, one of the major performers is a Cat Power, Chan Marshall. She recorded one of Hurley's songs on one of her covers albums, and so he's a pretty known entity with the intelligent rock and rollers like her.
Well, the thing about Michael Hurley also is that the album that you played was Weatherhole. Now, that's on a certain label called?
Field Recordings.
Okay.
And, we had put it out, I forgot what year, maybe 99 or so. And we had helped Mike out putting some of his stuff out. And then as the course of human events in the record industry goes, the distributor went bust. And so we got a bunch of CDs sitting in some warehouse that we can't get a hold of.
Oh.
And but hey, that's what taxes are for. You can take it off on your taxes.
Well, and any other write-off artists that Field Recording Records has had over the years? Who else have you...
Well, no, not right off like the Cattell, who I don't know if we're going to have enough time. I mean, they had a big deal story on her in the New York Times Sunday magazine about a month or so ago, and we had done...
Cattell Koenig. Right?
Yeah, we had done two of her albums. They were reissues. They were reissues of Elektra albums that then we reissued them.
Okay.
And so now she's getting quite a bit of press, and I would assume they're selling more of the albums. But truthfully, I'd forgotten that I even was involved in that until my partner said to me, "Oh yeah, we put that out."
You had to be reminded. How many other artists have you?
Not that many.
Like who else? A couple of other people.
Well, Nick was involved. I wasn't involved, but he was
Nick
one
Cautious.
Of the, Nick. No, no,
no,
Nick Hill.
Sorry. Nick Hill. Sorry.
He was one of the first guys to record Jeff Buckley, Tim's son, and so he put out, and also Rufus's sister Martha Wainwright of the McGarrigles and Loudon Wainwright family. So Martha, yeah. So Nick's done quite a bit of stuff there as far as producing major artists and also putting out things.
Well, how do people get? Because I went looking on the net for Field Recording. Like, where's your website? How do people get your albums?
Oh, well, it's somewhat, I wouldn't call it defunct, but I think CD Baby may sell some of the stuff, which is a website that deals with CDs, small pressing CDs. At this point, I think Cattell, that's probably where you can get that.
Okay. Well, we've got to get some other stuff, other business done for people who want to buy stuff. Oh, I'm awful segue again. But a little bit more business to do, commercial-wise, before we get back to a bit more music and the final minutes of this September 24th Dave's Gone By. Please stay with us. More music, more fun to come right after these messages. Rock on indeed, and we are rocking and folking here. Yes, we are. We are folking up the radio with people like Michael Hurley and who else?
Oh, Karen Dalton.
Karen Dalton, the Fugs we played. Maybe play a little Tom Rush in a couple of minutes. But what else, JP? And thank you, by the way, so much for... Actually, you know what? Let's do a little more business here, and then we'll close out with some more music and talk. Okay. JP, we've got really time for about one more song. So it's going to be... What is it going to be? I think from Blue Train, or not, or something else.
Maybe the Tom Rush.
Okay. Let me just set that up.
Yeah.
What do you want to play by? And who is Tom Rush?
Tom Rush is one of the great folkies, and you should play number 6, On the Road Again.
Is that the On the Road Again we're accustomed to, or?
No, that's Tom's On the Road Again, and I dedicate that to my. My sweet lady, Ms. Julie, who we used to transport cars and trucks around the country, and she's one heck of a driver. And this song is definitely her life.
Wow. On the Road Again, not the Willie Nelson version, because he'd be too stoned at the moment to appreciate it. but if you are listening, Willie, raggle your handcuffs along with Tom Rush. This is from the... Take a Little Walk With Me album. Just want to thank everybody again for taking a walk with me on this Sunday night. I will be back in 2 weeks, October 8th, with the 191st episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Good music. We're going on the road again and gone by.